Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on, what is it? It is Tuesday, the 5th of May. Some feedback from yesterday. Good stuff. A couple of essays I've had, a lot of DMs, a few WhatsApps, bit of text, bit of email. I think the overriding factor from yesterday is it's sort of twofold. One, less is always more. I know there's this great urge to rush off and join everything. It's still there with people. And I've spent a lot of time this last, whatever we've been now, 6-7 weeks. I've been absolutely, believe it or not, really busy just talking to people, doing webinars, email, speaking to people on Skype and all sorts. And I think the overriding thing is, for me, from my perspective of it, speaking to people, is people want to run before they can walk. And you need to walk before you run. And I think that's, when I show someone something new, it's great, the enthusiasm, and off they go, oh, I want to do that, I'm going to do that. Is it suited to your plan? Is it something you need now? I'm showing things that I'm using again, I say, after 13 years. Build up to it. Learn the markets first. So sort of two things. Less is always going to be more in most cases in punting. And, learn to walk before you can run. Don't people just aiming at the stars all the time, which is fine. You've got to have ambition, and I get all that, but it's going about it the right way. Just because I use something, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's suited to you right at this minute. There's plenty of good stuff out there for you to get your teeth into. But watching and learning a market, for me, is absolutely key for people. Take on me, take me on, take on me. I don't know where that came from, just popped in my head. That the old one-hit wonders, the old aha one-hit wonders. There'll be a few coming out now. They're not one-hit wonders, they had loads of records. One-hit flipping wonders. What's his name? Morton, wasn't it? Morton Arkett. Oh, Kelly likes Morton, doesn't she? That's right. Perhaps that's why it popped in my head. Because I had a couple of texts with Kevin this morning. I wonder if that's why. Take on me. Funny looking chap, wasn't he? Funny looking chap, Kelly. Morton flipping Arkett. And I see the old racist is back, isn't he? Old, obviously, the COVID-19 is taking too much of the news. The tinfoil hat brigade and their 5G, they're taking over as the biggest nutters in the flipping world. So old racist Farage stepped out and drove down to Dover, I see, and made a nice racist video. Another absolute weapon of a human being. And somebody sent it to me this morning. I read it about 5 o'clock this morning. And then they sent me the replies. I mean, it's just... I mean, honestly, I keep saying it, I fear for mankind. I mean, there was a bloke in there, wide awake. Farage, basically, I think from what I understand, he's driven down to Dover, stood there watching them. They've rescued a couple of refugee boats or immigrant boats. I think there was a baby on one, and he's basically stood there decrying the whole thing and being his usual racist self about it. And he is a racist, don't care. If you don't like it, fuck off. He's a fucking racist. He's made this, so obviously he's got his Nigel, get out there. What cracks me up, these people, they give it the old, yeah, you're the voice we need, Nigel. Like, so I saw somebody sent me another one with Piers Morgan. He had a test, and he's had a test and been off the TV. I can't remember it off the top of my head because I don't follow him, but somebody, the people love sending me, I think they do it to wind me up, but somebody in there, we need you back, Piers, you need to hold the government to account, you're the voice of the people. Well, I thought we voted on parties and it was the opposition party that held the government to account. I don't know what was he on? Was it Britain's Got Talent? What a Britain's Got Talent judge is holding people to account. He's a fucking lunatic, honestly. But anyway, yeah, so Farage, the replies to Farage are brilliant. Well, you got to stop this, there, blah, blah, blah. And then one bloke, Wide Awake, I think he was called, But this is the one that somebody sent me. Why are they doing it, Nigel? I think they want to rid us of the white people, or something, words to that effect, I'm paraphrasing. Rid us of the white people. Yeah, that's exactly it, son. Yeah, Boris Johnson, a well-known racist himself. Rees-Mogg, Dominic Raab, Matt Hancock. They want to rid us of all the white people. That's what they want to do. I tell you what's not wide awake in our wide awake is the fucking brain. And I read stuff like that. I always think of that. I don't know whether people watch 40 Towers. And I think it's the one with the woman with the deaf aid. I might be wrong, but I think it's that one where he's exasperated talking to her. You know, and he's the what did you expect to see out the window? Hanging gardens of Babylon, herds of wildebeest sweeping majestically across the plain. And I think there's a bit in that where he picks up a speck of dust or dirt and goes, is this a piece of your brain? That's exactly how I feel when I read this shit. Honestly, it is. And Farage is just, he's been out the news for a while, so he has to pop up. He probably needs a few quid. There'll probably be an online PayPal, get the Stop the Migrant Boats campaign, get a few quid in it. Guy's an absolute fucking charlatan. He is a racist charlatan. That is all he is. And if that, honestly, the thing I say to people, if that's your role models in life, if you're looking up to people like Piers Morgan and Nigel Farage as they're your role models in life, honestly, I fear for you. I fear for you. That's all I can say. And then the old tinfoil hat brigade out in London now. I mean, what's happening in America? They're fucking loonies, aren't they? And then we've got them now spreading into England. Dystopian Nazis. It's all a new world order. It's all 5G based. They're locking us up so they can install 5G and control us. Do me a favour, honestly. If you believe that, fine, believe it, crack on, just do me a favour, leave me out. Famous words, haven't said it for a while, not for me. Let's do some football, shall we? Let's get off this old nonsense. Why does he talk about that? I don't listen to the pod to listen to his views on that. Why does he talk about that? Just give us the football, give us the good stuff. Shut up. It looks like we're going to have Poland starting back. Honestly, I can't see what they're going to do with English football. And massive. I'm waiting for this Bundesliga to be a real key. I just cannot see a way out of our mess. We're so driven by the money. I just can't see. I think we are one of the most complex ones to get going again because of the fact that it isn't football driven. And don't think that it is. It is money driven. The TV money they would have to give back and the lawsuits and things. And just shows you how that model is fundamentally flawed. Everybody thought it can go on forever. Turn the taps off and you're in real trouble. Right, Poland starting up. Anyway, Polish Ekstraklasa last 3 years has been profitable blind backing home teams. But similarly, if you back home teams odds on, you don't really make any money. So backing home teams greater than 2.25 in Poland has been a nice steady profit of 28 points over the last 3 years. Obviously, you could filter that down and even more and go like 2.25 to 4. You may not want real big outsiders. And I like looking at the effects it has on other markets. So in those matches, backing over 2.5 loses comfortably. So backing home teams in those market wins. But backing over 2.5 when you've got a favourite around that price is not good. But then you flip it the other way, actually backing over 2.5 when you've got strong favourites in Poland is nicely profitable. So again, or you know, games you could trade. So if you want to trade a game in Poland over 2.5, then have a look at the price of the home favourite as well, and you might find that taking it sort of less than 2 is nicely profitable. Getting involved in the games I talked about over sort of 2.25 upwards, nice for the home win, no good for the over 2.5. So that's just things you want to look at. Again, I'm just giving you ideas to look at the market. I'm not saying do this, do that. I do quite like looking at what the effect on particularly match odds markets have on the other markets. But in that market, as I say, backing odds on favourites, and you can filter that into price bands. You may not want to go, I mean, there's not many really low prices in Poland, but you may want to under 2, it just about wins on the home win, but laying the draw and backing over 2.5 is profitable when you've got a strong favourite in Poland. There you go, so Poland's coming back. Have a look at that. Yeah, just little different angles to have a look at. Giving you too much, and I'm giving you too much. You're giving us so much, I don't know what to do. I think I'm feeling slightly mad today. I've been sat in front of Excel for about 3 days straight now, and I think it has driven me bananas. It has finally tipped me over the edge. Right, moving into that book of the day. So I gave you the stats one yesterday. This is a good book. Maths on the Back of an Envelope. Only a little short book. Rob Eastaway, Maths on the Back of an Envelope. Sort of stuff that interests me while you're watching your shit. See, Love Island's gone. Old Stevie boy, try to lure me in. See, they've binned that off. Fucking thank God. That'll be another 6 months where people's brain cells aren't dying or however long it's on for. And while you're watching all that shit, I'm reading books like this. This is what I do for fun. And this is basically just a look at maths and how to play with numbers, really, and stuff like that. Really, again, interesting. Got some interesting facts in it. The one that sticks in my mind, he was talking about, I think he did a presentation about cats. I'm trying to estimate how many cats are in the world. And he sort of came up with a thing that in the UK, I think it was 1 in 5. It was reasonable to assume 1 in 5 houses had a cat. And if an average house contained 2 people, I might have this wrong, there's 2 people, that means there's a cat for every 10 people. So with 70 million people in the UK, reasonable to assume there's about 7 million cats. That's basically how he did it. And then he had to adjust it for the world. He was doing a presentation somewhere, I think, adjust it for the world, and he thought, like, we're cat people, but maybe India, China aren't. So he basically turned it to a ratio of one cat for every 20 people. So it was just an assumption. So he went 8 billion people on the world divided by 20 is 400 million cats. And somebody put their hand up and said that he was wrong, and it was 600 million. So he asked them how they knew, and they said it's on Google. And he sort of goes on to explain that how people just take things like that. You know, nobody's gone and counted every cat in the world. So how did the guy on Google who's come up with 600 million come up with it? But once statistics like that are out there, or numbers like that are out there, that's what people turn into facts. And when you look at that across other walks of life, that is exactly what happens. And that was sort of, that's the bit that sort of fascinated me, because I like to question the bollocks that you see. Just because it's on Google doesn't mean it's right. Google it. It's always right on Google. Yeah, as we found with Georgie Bingham, it fucking isn't. So, interesting book. So if you like a short read and maths sort of interests you, fun maths really, just stuff like that. It's just good fun. It's called Maths on the Back of an Envelope by Richard Eastaway. No, Rob Eastaway. Can't even get his name right. Rob Eastaway. Good book. What else have we got this morning? I've got an FTS Connect man who's interested in fishing. So if anybody else is interested in fishing, drop me a line and I'll link you two up, and you can talk fishing as much as you like. You can talk all the fishing you want. Joke of the day at 80, I mean, fucking, it's dreadful, it's getting worse. The standard, you lot, I mean, honestly, you're letting yourselves down now. What do you call a Spaniard who can't find his car? Carlos, sort it out. You're giving the answer away in the question, aren't you? There's no surprise. Flipping 80, he says, in case you're running low on jokes. Running low, son? That's as low as it can get, that. Get the old bar right down. I have got a couple of others, actually. The fisherman sent me some. I'll save them for another day. What's the first? That's quite funny, actually. Why did the leper fail his driving test? He left his foot on the clutch. I quite like that. Joe, like that. Good. A nice chat to yesterday. I do like the lad. Lee Cow. He's got some fucking arms on him, the boy. Mind you, I think I'd take him with my speed and guile. But just a lovely, lovely individual. Just a really nice guy to talk to. And sort of 40 minutes on the phone with him yesterday. Really enjoyed it. Nice guy. Thank you, Lee. Enjoyed that. I'm still going to whip your ass at the poker table, but just I like nice people that you can have a decent conversation with. Really, really decent guy. Right, where are we? Chicken wings. Oh yeah, you're all missing your Nando's, aren't you? You're all missing your Nando's, so I'm going to give you a bit of chicken. I do like a chicken wing. I am partial to. I'm doing the ribs today. Remember the ribs recipe? I've done it all this morning. Boiled them all up in a nice salted, seasoned pan of water. Loosen them up, tenderise them, break that thing between the bone, the, what do you call it, sinewy bits between the bone, and then in the marinade, got your sherry, your soy sauce, your honey, your tomato ketchup, your Worcester sauce, or dry white wine vinegar, pineapple juice, beautiful, they're in there marinating for this evening, lovely job, yeah, that's the old West Country, she's packed up, and she's absolute no dedication to the pod, since the baby's born, booked it, packed it, fucked off, fucking useless, trying to run a business here. Right, this is chicken wings. I'm just absolute talking shit today, aren't I? I feel slightly hyper. I don't know why. I think I am. I think it's a. I've probably had about 6 hours sleep in the last 2 days. I think I'm running a little bit of sleep deprivation here. Right, chicken wings. I love chicken wings. Beautiful. Right, preheat your oven to 130. Two people cook these too high. 130. Right, get your wings in a bowl. Get some. Kitchen towel, dry them off, make sure they're absolutely bone dry. In the bowl, mix 2 teaspoons of baking powder and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Get that over the chicken wings, then toss them thoroughly so they're covered. Get a grill pan. You want a baking tray but with a rack in it, so they want to be on the rack. So spray the rack with some oil, or get kitchen roll again, olive oil, just rub the rack so the rack bars are oiled. And put the wings on top of the rack. Make sure they're not touching. Make sure the meat is the meatiest side is face up. Bake them for about 30 minutes. And then don't open the door. Turn the oven up then to just over 200, 210. And bake them for another 30 minutes. And they'll be crisp and golden. But as I said, don't open the door. Don't take the wings out. Leave them in there. You don't want any of the heat coming out. When they're baked, take them out, put them on the side a minute, and they'll just start to rest. In a saucepan, warm up the saucepan, add in a bottle of soy sauce, 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, 2 tablespoons of honey, and 1 tablespoon of sesame seeds. Put that into the pan, and then get it up bubbling and stirring, and it will start to thicken up. Once that's thickened up slightly, just get your wings in batches, toss them in the sauce. So if you're serving it to people, literally toss them in the sauce, out of there, straight on the plate. Absolutely beautiful. B-E-A-utiful. Serve it with a little salad, bit of celery, or you cannot go wrong. I do love a chicken wing. There you are. That's your own sort of teriyaki style chicken wings. I could do chicken wings 10 ways if you like. We'll keep going. But if you're missing your Nando's, get the old FTS chicken wings down your neck. Beautiful. Simple, cheap, lovely. Waffling. There's bits that came out of yesterday. I'll have a think about and put that all together. I need to get some structure to it. There's main themes that people struggle with. Building systems, choosing systems, the confidence that things will carry on. That again comes from your scarring. If you've done your work beforehand and you've bedding with some value, then there's no reason why they won't carry on. But obviously I think people scar, and it's that sort of 4 or 5 losses come and people think that's it, it's gone, and you actually give up. So it's quite often it isn't that things have gone. If you went back and revisited them, as I said, I mean, I don't bin anything. If you went back and revisited it, you see it actually probably picked up, but you've moved on by then and don't see it. So I'm gonna cover that, these parts over time. It's just getting the best way to get it across, as I say. But thanks, a couple of people sent me some really good stuff on learning as well. Ken and Neil, really interests me, that stuff. I haven't got to it thoroughly yet, but I'll have a read of those probably over the weekend now, because I've got quite a bit on this week. But as I say, hopefully next week onwards we'll be a bit quieter. We'll know a bit more about football back and we can push right on. Take on me. I've got it in my flipping head, that song. I'm going to have it all day. Flipping Morton. Is it? Was him, wasn't it? I've probably got it wrong. Morton Harkett. Am I done? I think I am. I think I am well and truly done. I've done the stat. I've done a recipe. I've done the book. I've done one really bad joke and an okay joke. I've got no birthday wishes for anybody, I don't think. I don't want to miss a birthday. If somebody says, can you mention their birthday, and you don't do it, I'll be gutted. But I don't think I have. No, I think that's it. I think we're good. Yeah, that's it. Leave me with it, and I'll be... Leave me with it. What does that even mean, leave me? What are you leaving me with? I just talk complete and utter shite, don't I? I do apologise. I've got to get the stand of this pod up. Old Chrissy Spreadsheets wants me to number them so that I can... we can actually have a catalogue of when I said something relevant and when I talk bollocks. So you could see number 37, Ian just talking shite. Number 38, actually something you might want to listen to. It's how we go about it. Anybody wants to listen to every single podcast, number them and catalogue them, let me know. It's only about 400. I think we're up to about 470. I've not missed a day. Good, isn't it? Isn't it good? I'm proud of that. There, it's almost become a competition with myself now, which is a bit sad. I can't get up and say, sod it, I've got to do one. I wonder how long I'll go on for. I wonder if I'm on my old deathbed still spouting out to you lot. Who knows? It's therapy. Honestly. Right, I'm going. Absolute. Probably one of the worst podcasts ever. But tomorrow I'll be Trump-like. It was the best podcast. Greatest podcast. Have a lovely Tuesday. I'm going to do some work, eat my ribs, hopefully get some sleep, wake up. Tomorrow will be a new day. I will speak to you all tomorrow.